This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, happy Monday from the Press Box, as we're here to lift your spirits and carry you through an otherwise dreary Monday morning into afternoon here in the big city of Houston, Texas. Nick has informed me he is awake. It is official. He's clapping. He's happy. I think he looks rather well presented today and fresh. He said others have said he looks tired. Whatever the case may be, he's here. I'm here. You're there. Let's do this. Nick, what is the true scenario? How do you feel?
The true scenario is, well, in terms of how I feel great. Good. I mean, Phil Mickelson won. So
Movies.
Clearly, that's the lead.
Is
that's
it?
Why I'm excited.
Clearly?
Because Phil won the PGA.
Boy, Brooks Koepka not happy.
He shouldn't
see
be.
That?
He's not happy at all.
Well, you know why?
Why?
He said if he hadn't had knee surgery, he'd have been okay with the fact that everyone was coming out of the woodwork on 18 to see Phil. But he said because of the fact that security couldn't keep them under control, he took several shots to his surgically repaired knee, and he wasn't too pleased about it. I wouldn't be either.
You don't think he's crying a little bit?
A little bit. A little bit. He had his opportunity.
Look, it's a major. It's a big thing to win.
It's a big story, and he's the oldest player ever to win a major at 50 and 11 months. I think 11 plus months. I think he turns 51 next week. It's a big deal. But I, you know what? And I heard someone say the whole nation was pulling for Phil. I think that's BS.
I wasn't, certainly, but who do you think that's the
case? I know
case?
Tiger Woods fakes it. Tiger's not a huge fan of Phil's. They've always had like more than a competitive rivalry, and I know for a fact from others that know Tiger very well. He really doesn't care for Phil all that much. Do I dare say that Phil is to golf what Alex Rodriguez is to baseball? He'll go down as one of the greats, but he won't go down without a lot of people wishing that they could hate on him a little bit more. He's got a large sum of people that aren't big fans.
Okay. I mean, I was just kidding about the whole golf being the lead.
Yeah, I was hoping you were. But, I mean, I figured we'd touch on it at some point.
Yeah. But how was your weekend, man?
It was quiet. I mean, it was all right. I mean, not a whole lot going on except for sports. The baby wasn't feeling good, so Lisa called in sick today. And then I said, I just pulled one out of my dad's bag of tricks. I was like, is she sniffling? No. Is she throwing up? No, although she did throw up all over me in the couch last night, and it was not pretty. But I was like, then she's going to school, and we're good.
So she threw up the night before, and you still made her go to school?
Yeah.
You're a terrible dad.
I'm a great dad.
Not really.
She told me, she nodded her. I said, Maddie, you want to go to school today? She nodded her head and smiled. And then when we got to school, she saw who was waiting for her, and she cried and she wanted to go back to the car. Well, at that point, there's no turning back, kid. Let's go.
Well, she knew who she was talking to. Now, Lisa probably would have gave in,
oh,
right?
For sure. Oh, for sure. But Lisa gives in to those kids all the time, without question.
You know, school is no fun when you're a kid. It's always more fun later, right?
I guess. Yeah.
Or I guess it is. Or maybe kids say it to be nice to their parents. I don't know.
I'm the boring family guy. What was your weekend like? We had talked about the fact that, you know, you were going to get out and get after it.
I did. I tried this new spot, and I gave it a mention on Jerome's, on Houston Sports Show, but I'll give it a mention anyway. Bottled Blonde was where I was at.
Where's that?
It's in the Heights. I think it's been open for about 7 or 8 months. I went during the day, and apparently it gets a little rowdy at night. They put lingerie on, and it becomes a nightclub, and they kick everybody out that's already there. Not really kick them out, but, you know, excuse them because it kind of turns into this.
Really?
Yeah, but Bottled Blonde has some good pizza, some good wings, and it's a really nice bar. Okay. You can reserve tables. It's pretty damn expensive. And I got to see Kaylee, so if you're ever there, Kaylee was a blast. She was my server.
Oh,
and she was amazing. So
amazing!
Shout out
ways.
To Kaylee at Bottled Blonde.
Does Kaylee have a future with the Nick Sciarra?
No, I'm just saying. Shout
club?
Out if you guys want to check her out. You know,
sounds like you might fancy her a little bit, Nick.
I'm sure a lot of people do.
Well, shouldn't you be front of the line?
It's not just me. Believe me.
Yeah, but I mean, those are just average people. You're Nick Sciarra.
Plenty of eye candy at Bottled Blonde, by the way.
In the Heights, huh?
Why are you shocked? In the Heights has a lot of spots, bro.
I just don't. I mean, I know Midtown Washington Avenue.
Now, the Heights is picking up. The problem with the Heights is the parking. That's the damn problem with the Heights. But everything else is
really
is on point. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking. You need to go to the Heights.
I don't get out anymore. But
that's
I mean,
true. That's true.
You know. So I mean, good tip there for the listeners. I didn't have any idea.
Yeah, Washington, all up and down.
I know the Washington Avenue was definitely a hot spot for sure.
Yeah, but it was fun. I had some. That's why Poor Marine on Twitch was very quick to say, "Hey, man, you look beat. You okay?"
Oh, but Poor Marine and JD, all they do is just
you just look beat,
crap.
Are you fine?
Like,
did you drink over the weekend?
No,
I didn't. Not a drop, Poor Marine.
The bullpen for the Astros is going to come up at some point. It has to.
Of course it does.
And it's annoying as hell to me. And what's more annoying are the people that are trying to make themselves famous by coming at me when I said, I never need to see Brian Abreu in a high leverage spot from Dusty Baker ever again. And the question was, well, who would you put in there? Well, remember last year when they didn't have anybody and all these young arms surfaced and suddenly we found out who Blake Taylor was and Belak and Anoli Paredes and some of these guys. You don't know until you get to the show and you get a chance. Well, he's had all the opportunities I needed to see from Brian Abreu. From now on, Brian Abreu can be in a 10-0 game when they need to fill innings or low leverage situations. I'm tired of hearing about his electric stuff. I want to focus on the fact that he can't throw strikes. And I don't need to see him in tight ball games because, again, and you know this is my pet peeve, but when you're leading in two of those three games for the majority of the game, and then you find a way to give it away with your bullpen, and then yesterday again, nice little comeback, you're right there where you need to be, and then Dusty Baker inexplicably does not
walk
a guy to set up the double play. No. I don't need to walk two guys. I don't want to walk Gallo too because, oh, by the way, Gallo's only hitting about 217 and he strikes out a ton. You either could strike him out and then any out gets you out of the inning, or he has a great chance of hitting it a double play. Instead, you pitch to the hottest hitter on the Rangers team who's beat you over the course of the weekend, and he beats you again.
I don't get why he didn't do that either, and I expected to hear that from you because it's warranted. It's warranted. But Dusty always seems like a guy, though, when it comes down to a high-pressure situation and he has to make the decision, one thing you know for sure he's not going to do is rush the decision. And sometimes I think it's almost in his mind to just be super calm, even more calm in a situation like that. And he's like, you know what? If my decision is wrong, whether it's wrong, right, or indifferent, I'm going to live with it. And I feel like he just goes with that mentality too much. Maybe it's in part because of his age. I'm not trying to call him old. I'm just saying there's an approach that he's always had, and he's kind of stuck to it. This is what he had to say after the game in regards to that.
Yeah, but, I mean, I figured that, you know, with Presley's stuff, I mean, he jammed the heck out of him. I mean, he just found a hole. Yeah, Joey Gallo's hurt us the last couple of years. You know, we walked, well, since I've been here. And then they got the Dangerous for Life off after that. So, we considered it.
Well, again, I think, Nick, I think.
Did you hear what he said about Gallo?
Yeah, and I don't know. I can't recall where Gallo's ever beaten the Astros like he's talking about.
I didn't look it up either.
I would expect if anybody would know that, it'd be CP. But my big thing in just hearing that is I don't know that seat-of-your-pants managing, which has gotten Dusty Baker throughout his career, but I think especially in two of the three games this weekend, I think he managed himself into losses or managed himself into chances to really lose a game instead of to try and win a game. And that's a little bit disturbing. And so I said, too, if they blow this game again, and this is when they got it to even, and then he was screwing around with who he was going to bring in, what he was going to do with the bullpen, I said, I better hear from James Click this week, and I better hear something from the Astros in terms of addressing this bullpen, which is awful, because this team is too good to have a bullpen this bad.
Now, we mentioned a name, and you're like, what are you talking about? I didn't mention it. I think it was either the Twitch or the text. But you don't miss Will Harris anymore? I thought he did okay considering
the
world.
He was great as an Astro. But you know what? It's kind of like the relief pitcher runs his course, right? So Will Harris was a more recent version of what Chris Devinsky was. I'm trying to think of the guys before that were set up guys before Lidge.
Will Harris or Abreu?
That's a no-brainer. See, that's the thing. Like, I was going to say, even on Twitch, I mean on Twitter, I was going to say either Stanek, who's been great until this last week, or Joe Smith, because he's a veteran that's at least smart in a tight game, I would take over Abreu because they're going to throw strikes. They might get hit in the case of Joe Smith, but they're going to throw more strikes more frequently than a guy that can't find the zone in Brian Abreu, who reminds me too much of Josh James.
Yeah, And I wonder if Brent, if Strom is sitting there looking at that situation and telling himself, you know what, maybe we should walk. Like, I wonder if he's thinking in that situation, maybe, you know, Abreu's on the mound right now. Maybe you should walk Garcia right now. I wonder if he's thinking that. You got to wonder. Obviously, the decision is up to Dusty. They're not going to ask Strom, and Strom's probably not going to, you know, answer those questions, because you don't want no conflict and anything that could potentially divide, you know, the clubhouse or the coaches or anything like that. But you got to wonder what he was thinking.
I would think he would converse with Strom, but I think from Strom's point of view, Nick, to what's going on in his head, he's probably thinking, whether he wants to or not, he's probably going to walk another guy because of his control, because he just couldn't find that. That's been his biggest issue all season long, is he has the worst percentage on the team in terms of first pitch strikes and just finding the zone consistently. That's where what he's got. And this is exactly what we used to say about Josh James. And before that, who was the lefty relief pitcher? Tony, a couple years ago. Same thing, where, God, I can't remember his name all of a sudden.
But yeah.
But that's the same thing. Pound the zone, and I'm okay with you taking your chances, especially if you have this electric stuff. But the fact that your misses are so far off the plate, the swing and miss probabilities are just so low because of the fact that they're not even close. If you borderline make a halfway decent pitch, but it's just a few inches off either side or up or down, there's a chase percentage.
Yeah.
Where Abreu was missing, there was no chance anybody was flailing at any of those pitches.
And you know what else? I actually feel like they're okay with seeing Abreu out there in that situation a few more times, almost to the point where they almost want to give him the break. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Dusty leaves Abreu out there in a situation like that again. I would not be shocked. And I think he'd be okay with it, because obviously reps does help in some cases, not all cases. In high-pressure situations, they're few and far between in terms of getting their reps. You know what I mean? But I would not be shocked if he decides to go with him again. I would not be shocked one bit. Not unless James Click and company, like you mentioned, are able to address some of the voids prior to that. But I don't see that happening. I do not see that happening.
Thank you to H-Town Dame and Dr. Dre. It was Tony Sipp, the left.
Tony Sipp.
Same thing. Yep. Could not fight. Wesley Wright, Dr. Dre, another great one. Wesley Wright, a guy that used to come in, looked like he had a rubber arm and electric stuff, but could not get ahead in counts and pound the zone.
Yeah, so.
And so here's the thing, Nick. I think the bigger problem I have with Dusty, even after talking about what he should have done walking guys, why are you enamored with the same two guys? Why do I have to see Brooks Raley and his, at 1.9 plus ERA, which is down to the mid-sevens now?
Because he's that dude to give people.
And Abreu.
He gives that people. That's what he does. He gives players rope. That's what he does. He gives them a long leash. That's what he does. That's Dusty. And it's frustrating to watch in certain situations like that one, because it was clearly a winnable game. And there's no guarantee that in the event that they did walk Garcia that they would eventually win that game. But, you know, you know, decisions can come back and bite you. But we'll talk a lot more about the Astros. Deshaun Watson makes the decision not to go to OTAs. I think that's a no-brainer, not a shocker at all that he decided to do that. I'm going to talk a little bit about the UFC fight, not too much, but a little bit, a big retirement. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then, obviously, the NBA playoffs, man.
Yep, it's time to talk basketball. You know, we love that. Lots
Three
to talk
straight
about.
Hours.
Upsets. Competitive games, NBA got to be giddy about that. NBA also bringing back and proposing something that I'm totally against, even more so than the play-in tournament for the playoffs.
Okay.
We can talk about that too. So you guys could be a part of the program, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line for calls and texts. You know how we do it. We're on Twitch all the time, and Nick and I are constantly chatting it up with the Twitchers, and also on Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And together with the Press Box, just get it going, ESPN. Got Chuck's on with Saint Laurent,
gotta kiss myself, so pretty. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Nick, just a side note as we get into other discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're good about this for the peeps. Megan Fox has definitely not lost her fastball.
She's fine.
And Machine Gun Kelly's got to be living his best life.
Because
they went to the Billboard Awards on Saturday night. They couldn't get enough of each other. And in what she was wearing, I don't think we could get enough of Megan Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, not Kelly.
Or Megan, sorry, Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah, Megan Fox, right.
Megan Kelly is the news gal,
isn't she? She may soon be Megan Kelly.
Yeah. No, Megan Fox is fine. And she's fine in that video that he does. He has a song, a rock song called Bloody Valentine. I play the music from time to time for intros. Yeah, man, she looks pretty good.
She's wearing basically the female equivalent of that Borat outfit, that neon green one in the Borat movie. She's wearing that with some see-through pants. And it's spectacular. And then they're like, she's grabbing his package and they're tonguing each other. His whole tongue is black.
I did not see that.
Like, because they're both tongue out of their mouth getting ready to kiss each other. And I'm like, either he had some black licorice or that either was painful and stupid or I'm missing something.
A great popsicle?
No, this is black, like jet black tongue. I'm going to send you the link. He's a lucky man, and it's his whole freaking...
Dyes his tongue black for the 2021 Billboard Music Awards. Wow.
That's a thing, huh?
I didn't know it was a thing.
I didn't either, but you're going to dye your tongue black for an event.
If you're a star, does it really... See, there's certain things that you can get away with when you're famous that you shouldn't do when you're like a regular dude. Like, for example, like these suit shorts or these glasses with no lenses like Russell Westbrook. I think they're hideous and they're dumb. But if you're an NBA player, I get it. You know, you're in your 20s, early 30s, and you're a star, you're a celebrity, whatever. Wear your short suits and your lensless glassless, or lensless frames, I should say. Whatever. If that's a fashion statement, by all means.
Yeah, the Jimmy Harden short suit outfit fit thing is still a thing.
So LeBron does it?
LeBron did it in the playoffs a couple of years ago. The glasses thing became a thing.
And I feel like it kind of went away.
And it went away because I'm not going to lie. Back in the day, I had a pair of the clear glasses because they said that if you go out and you wear them, it makes you look more like business posh.
Okay.
But I couldn't see myself wearing them. I had a pair that were given to me. But like now, I dread. You know how much I hate being photographed or anything with my glasses on. It's like now it's like I never want to put glasses on ever. And before I used to think about it, well, that's a cool fashion thing. No, it's not.
It is to a to me, it's about whether or not you have a really bad prescription. Like if you have really bad eyesight and you got them thick ass glasses that you paid extra to get them thin or whatever. It just makes it look like you got a bunch like some goggles, like magnifying goggles on your face. You know what I mean? Unless it's like, you know, your eyesight's not too bad. Or if it's clear, I feel like it's hard to make glasses a fashion statement. But someone who needs to change in terms of a fashion statement would be Trae Young. Because Trae Young might need to introduce the world to what he could potentially look like with no hair. Because, buddy.
He's hanging, right?
You might, in 2.5 weeks, you might look like me and AJ Hoffman. Okay?
We're on the same page, right? He's only doing that to hang on to what he's got, right?
Bro, you can see it happening very early on off the top. I mean, you can just see it. You know, you might want to introduce the world and what you might look like with no hair. I'm just saying.
So let me ask you this, because I totally agree with you on that. Who's worse, Trae Young or Dylan Brooks, who looks like the bassist for either Morris Day and the Time or Prince and the Revolution? That old kind of soul glow top with the shaved sides look, I just feel like a lot of people hate on him and don't realize how good a player he actually is because of the hair.
You think they hate on him because of the hair?
Oh, my God. I see so many people on social media taking pot shots at him and, like, the soul glow drip because he's got the little squiggly hairs that are coming down on his forehead when he sweats. I'm like, could he be more aerodynamic? I always go back to a conversation that Van Gundy had with Moochie when he first got the job with the Rockets. And Moochie, they were at Westside. And Moochie was shooting around on the court. And Van Gundy came out. And this is when Mooch had the full fro. Because remember, the Rockets even did a bobblehead with the full fro for Mooch. So Mooch is shooting around, and Van Gundy, Mooch never met him before. And he comes out and he goes, hey, how's it going? And Mooch is like, hey, coach, what's going on? What's going on? He goes, hey, I'll talk to you about the hair. And Mooch's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of my thing. It's what I do. He's like, so do you really like it? And Mooch is like, yeah, coach, why? He goes, because I think it slows you down. And I think it's a problem, and I don't think you should have it. And Moochie was just like, are you kidding? Are you serious? I'm waiting to see because I don't really know the man. He's going to be my coach.
Because he's always smiling.
And Van Gundy, deadpan, never changed his expression, went, all right, see you around. Turned around and walked away. And I was like, Mooch, he's dead serious. He's not a fan of the big dude.
Well, I mean, that's not just not, in my opinion, that's not your decision to make, Sir Van Gundy. That's why everything needs to, some of these coaches are getting old. You just got to get younger. That's a waste of a conversation, in my opinion. And I actually like Van Gundy on the broadcast, but that's just a waste of a conversation. And Mucci, he probably has such a good attitude from the two or three times that I met him here when you brought him in to do a studio.
Yeah.
He's the most cool, flexible dude. He's always smiling, I feel like. Like, I don't know him personally like you do, obviously, but the guy just, like, I can see him move past that situation and handle it well because of his attitude. Mm-hmm. But if you do that to a player now, you're just going to look like an old coach. I'm just being honest
with
you.
Now, you know he's a coach.
Yeah, but if you're a head coach right now and you start, hey, you know what?
Well, he's head coach of the Houston Push, Nick.
Oh.
Steve Francis is part owner of the Houston Push, who I think they just won 13 out of their last 14 games. It's a semi-pro or minor league basketball team that has teams all over the country, and Steve selected Mucci Norris as the head coach of the Houston Push.
Put some respect on his name, damn it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's all about basketball. I see him train people all the time. I see it on his Instagram all the time, so he's always about it. So.
Yes, he is.
But, yeah, I thought the hairdo thing was quite – there's two things I need to tell Trae Young. Number one, you might want to shave your head just to not freak everybody out when you do it.
Just embrace it.
And number two, you're still probably not going to win this series, homie. I'm sorry.
But here's the thing, Nick. Watching the end of that game, if there's one thing you knew, if you're the Knicks, right, you know he's going to try and drive. All your help is in the middle of the floor and at the top of the circle. And I forget who the Knicks guard is, number 11, with the headband on. But I thought he got it. He was going to push him and shade him to the middle of the court where he could get help. And then all of a sudden, he overplays the middle. Trae turns the corner on him. And the minute he put him in his rearview mirror, I'm like, ball game. He was in that zone to where you just did. And the other thing, credit to him, was it wasn't just about his shooting. He found Bogdanovich in the corner. He had the drop back pass for the other three. And it's like, you know what? As much as everybody, and I agree with them, that Dallas fleeced Atlanta by getting Luka in the trade for Trae Young.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, Trae Young's not that far away. And if he gets more opportunities on a national stage and does what he did yesterday, it's going to be just a short period of time before more people are talking about Trae Young.
Well, and the good thing is, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of criticism that he doesn't like, because what has been the knock on Trae Young? You've been a good player on a bad team. Well, like it looks like this team is actually coming around. Clint Capella's been playing a little bit better. So you now have a situation where there's some development. So, yeah, if he continues to play and he continues to play well among other good players, maybe that knock will go away. Because that's kind of been the knock. You're a good player on a bad team. You're not a match player.
Yeah.
You're not a guy that's going to lead a team to a championship. It's up to him to change that. And it's this series.
Oh, I think he can eventually.
It's this series. It's series like this, playoffs this year, playoffs next year, where he can actually do something like that. This is his opportunity to prove that he can. But right now, people don't view him like that.
Plus, you're in New York, so everything's magnified. So even if you were just in the playoffs, it'd be one thing. But you're in the playoffs in New York, playing in the Mecca, Madison Square Garden, where everybody was watching that game.
And everybody telling you, F you. Yeah. He handled it well, man.
He did, and it was a great game, and he was the star amongst all stars. You're right. If he keeps doing this, like I said, more and more people are going to be talking about Trae Young. All right, half hour into the program, lots more to get to, just scratching the surface. Before we dig deep, we always want to get in from you. So HRP listener line, 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's the Press Box. It's ESPN.
To call into the HRP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on the box, half hour in. We were talking Astros a little bit and the fact that they returned the favor and got swept by the Rangers after sweeping the Rangers here at Minute Maid Park. Opens up a big stretch of games starting tomorrow night with a homestand for the Astros, which, in order, gives you the Dodgers, followed by the Padres, followed by the Red Sox. This is going to be a pretty darn important stretch of games for your Houston Astros. And again, getting into what Nick and I were talking about in terms of just how bad the bullpen's been and where the help is coming from. Well, it could be coming from Sugarland, because Framber Valdez had his second straight start for the Skeeters, gave up four hits in four innings, I think, or something like that. But he did okay, but through his interpreter, he said it was a good outing. He has some work to do. His curveball is not where it was, but he says in another outing or two, he'll be back with the big league team. If you do that and look at the calendar, probably early to mid-June before you see Framber. Odorizzi still scheduled to throw, I think, tonight. And then Blake Taylor, one inning pitched, one hit, zero runs, zero walks, zero strikeouts, first rehab appearance since he suffered a severely sprained ankle April 16th. He said it felt really good. His most important thing was feeling stable, like he never got hurt. He thought that he was that way. He's hopeful to return after a couple more outings there as well. So at least maybe some help's on the way, because if you get Odorizzi and Framber back, now maybe a Luis Garcia becomes one of your key bullpen guys, like Scrub is trying to be relied on, or Abreu. Yeah. And maybe they start rotating some of these starters into more relief roles.
And if you're in the Sugarland area, probably not a bad time to go check out a game, right?
Bro, they're blowing it out. Like, the crowds have been fantastic.
I mean, if you got guys like that playing, why wouldn't you be blowing it out?
Right?
They're doing really, really well. And that's probably in part the reason why they've upped the price on the tickets. And I don't know for 100% sure that they have. But from what I've heard, I think they've upped the price a little bit, and it's completely worth it because people want to go. People want to go and see these games. It's still extremely affordable. And to be able to see somebody like that, you know, obviously it's in Sugarland, so if it's not conveniently located, I get it. But still, it's still an opportunity. For a lot of people, it's worth the trip. I've seen people with players not like Framber were not playing, and they would drive from the Woodlands. They would drive from very far places.
I was going to ask you, because I didn't see if the ticket prices had changed, but when you go from unaffiliated A-ball to AAA, and you'd go all through all the renovations that they've gone through.
We're playing at 4:05 today, so let me see if I can find
it. It might be a doubleheader, Nick, because of the weather.
It is.
Okay. But I don't know if the prices went up or not, but I'm just saying, it's like you said, it's still affordable. And what you and I have always said, we've been singing the praises of, it's a gorgeous stadium. It's a beautiful atmosphere for the family, because there's that whole play area out in left field. There's lots of things to do. And then you're right on top of the field.
Yeah.
So there's not really a bad seat in the place.
Well, from what I'm looking on this website, $7 to $57. $7 from the lawn, grassland section, all the way up to $57 is the range that I see on this particular website. So, I mean, it's not, you know, it's still an affordable ticket. You know what I mean? I think. So.
I agree with you. Now, here's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for, at some point, you or I are setting up the rundown for a show this week. And whether it be baseball rumors or, you know, one of these guys, Jeff Passan or Buster Olney or somebody, Ken Rosenthal, James Click is in discussions with multiple teams trying to improve the bullpen, because you do have a surplus of young starting pitching. You do have some resources that people want, even though your farm system isn't like plentiful per se based on other teams. But one of my last tweets yesterday was, this team is too good to have a bullpen this bad. And because you are not only competitive, aside from this slump against the Rangers, you had one of the best records in baseball. And you were in first place when you started this series. But I take the Tigers series earlier when you got swept. I take this Rangers series and go, you don't have a whole lot of issues playing good teams, but you do seem to have issues playing bad teams from time to time. And it all kind of stems from the fact that you get leads that you can't hold.
Yeah, it's even worse when they're winnable games.
Yeah, and that's what's more frustrating.
It's way worse when it's a team that you're clearly more talented than, and then it's a winnable game too. So at any given night, you can have a bad team beat a good team. We talk about this all the time, 162 game schedule. But, you know, it's even worse when it's a team that you're clearly better. When you look at that roster top to bottom, and despite the issues that you have in the bullpen that you've been mentioning all along.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that they're just waiting, you know, waiting. They're just waiting it out in terms of addressing the bullpen. I'm not sure if James Click, he doesn't seem like a guy that's in a rush to do it right now. I saw a story, I want to say last month or earlier, where they were like waiting. They were just bidding, and they're just waiting on their time in terms of addressing the bullpen. So I don't know if they still have that mentality now. But I would like to hear from Click, as you mentioned,
that's
at some
all I
point.
Want to do.
At some point.
And I also want to hear, honestly, from Crane. because there are rumblings that even though they're getting more and more fans, this is the first series against the Dodgers where they'll open it up to full capacity. But that because of the financial concerns, that he might not be as willing to go make a move. And it doesn't have to be a major move like the Verlander or the Greinke trades, but maybe a move or two to upgrade the bullpen that he would otherwise be in favor of. He's going to be apprehensive about till he starts getting that money back. I'd like to hear from him. I need to know where his head's at.
Yep.
I need to know what Click's doing. Because, Nick, Tampa Bay made a trade this weekend and gave up one of their decent middle relievers. They also made a trade. They traded Willy Adames to Milwaukee and got a couple more relievers. That's James Click's old stomping grounds in Tampa. You know them, and they've had good situational pitching. If you're not talking to them, I don't know who you're talking to, but I at least want to know you're talking, because since he's been here, what has he really done?
And look, he could just as easily satisfy you, Joel, and say, you know what, we are talking, and then not make any moves. And then the other thing is, what do you have to trade away? Outside of Kyle Tucker, I feel like the only thing that you're okay to trade away with is Kyle Tucker. CP brought up a hypothetical in which where we would the Astros would give up Alvarez and Tucker for Tatis. Like, which players are you willing to give up on, and which players are you not willing to give up on? And I feel like Alvarez is one of those players right now, is a player that I don't want to trade away.
I agree with you 100%.
Tucker all day. But the problem is, but if that's your mentality, how much are you going to get back with Tucker as your piece? What else do you have?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's...
If you want to get something back decent in return.
But again, you got Ken Emanuel, which means Brooks Raley is expendable. If Taylor's coming back too, now you've got a couple of good young live arms that are going to be at your disposal. That means you might be able to move some other guys. You have a surplus. If Jake Odorizzi was your guy at the start of the season and you thought that he was a veteran you needed, but now because you have Garcia, because you have Javier, because you have Fromber, you have all this young arm talent, maybe you can... Maybe one of them is expendable if it means helping your pen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to make a major, because this team doesn't need an overhaul. They need a center fielder, an everyday center fielder, and they certainly need help in the bullpen.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and so I just think both of those are easily obtainable, and I don't think you got to go and break the bank to get the job done.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. There's a difference between an overhaul and just addressing voids that need to be filled. So I get it. I mean, I totally get it. But here's more from Dusty after the game.
Well, before today, we got plenty of hits. We just couldn't get them, with runners in scoring position. And, you go through periods like this, you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know exactly when you're going to come out of it. But, we certainly got to come out of it against, the next opponent that we're facing in the Dodgers.
I'm fine with Chaz McCormick being your everyday center fielder. He had a home run again this weekend. He doesn't look like he's going to hurt you defensively.
Why are they not doing that?
Because Dusty's a big Miles Straw fan, and he believes that the kid could possibly develop into more. And because recently, as bad as he was going, he had a couple multi-hit games where they were like, okay, maybe, let's just see how this goes. But when you put McCormick into the lineup, it seems like there's a little bit of energy infused into the lineup. And the guys in the upper half of the order know, hey, the bottom half's not that bad today, because this guy's going to put the bat on the ball a little bit more. There's a better chance that we can produce some things at the end. And Dusty's right. They had, again, this team's run differential is one of the best in Major League Baseball. This team's offensive production is not the issue. Up until Saturday, they had gotten 8-plus hits in, like, I think 9 or 10 straight games. That's unheard of in Major League Baseball. Offense, as you and I go up and down the list, we keep saying, there's nothing wrong with the offense.
No, it's not. And it's crazy that the offense is not an issue when you consider the players that they've lost over the years. You know what I mean? And I get Springer with the oblique. I don't know where he's at or if he's healthy again. Man, I believe he'll eventually get healthy and perform like he was with the Astros. There's no way you're going to sit here and tell me that George Springer will never be good again. I just don't believe it. I just don't believe it. So when you look at some of the names that the Astros have lost and still able to put numbers, you mentioned the run differential and everything else, it is a good thing. In a way, it's kind of a good problem. It's not a good problem to have, but it is kind of a good problem to have. It's just a matter of whether or not the front office, Dusty and Strom, pulled the trigger on some of the right moves. I guess for Strom, it has nothing to do with some of the other, like, outside of pitching, but no. They need to pull the trigger and start making some moves.
Yeah, that's why I want to hear from Click. I want to hear that Crane's going to give him the backing to do whatever needs to be done so that they can add to this team. And then offensively, we said 1-6. 1-6 is you don't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
But because 7, 8, 9 has been like an instant out for the most part, when you think about the Machete and Straw and the guys at the bottom of the lineup, you're like, okay, here's the thing. If you at least put – Machete's not going to change because defensively you need him, and he's gotten hot, a little hotter of late in his last 10, 15 games. But if you get a veteran center fielder that gives you maybe a little less defensively but maybe a little bit more offensively, you're fine. And then you just you can take your chances and roll from there. So I think that that's what they're trying to avoid. Your 1-6 is great. 7, 8, 9 has been awful.
Yeah.
And you don't want like a National League lineup where you just think, well, the pitcher hits in the 9 spot. There's an easy, that's an instant out. And then if one, if not both of the other guys aren't hitting, you can just go, yeah, as long as we get through 6, you know, that's a basically a quick inning coming up after that.
And the
they got to avoid that.
And the funny thing is, that's what baseball teams look. They look at that 8 and 9 spot. They're like, all right, there's no fear there,
right?
Like, who are you going to be scared of at that late in the batting order? Like, who are you going to fear? Absolutely nobody.
Correct.
Absolutely nobody.
Yep. So there's a little bit more of the Astros. Lots more to get to. I gave you the updates on all the Astros. We got to get some more of these playoff games because there were some good ones and there's some good series.
There really were.
Someone asked a question, too. Of teams that won game one, how many of those teams will win the series? We can even look at some of that because there's some pretty winnable series for both teams. And again, if you're a Rockets fan, do you feel a little bit bad or do you feel like, ha, I told you so, that Chris Paul is going to Chris Paul just in the playoffs? Just like James Harden, only in a different way.
We got to talk about that.
We need to. So we've got lots to get to. It always includes you. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about new brakes. Look, if you're looking to get your brakes fixed, but you hate going to those waiting rooms and they're grungy and the furniture's uncomfortable and you got to get the vending machine food, the cold coffee, the bad television, and you got to waste a lot of time waiting, you don't have to anymore because it's just like getting your groceries curbside and not having to go in the store for an hour. They come to you and they do what they do, which is just brakes, not anything else. They're not going to upsell you, tell you need an oil change, tell you need your filters changed, none of that stuff. All they do is brakes. They do it as good or better as any brake shop in town, and their prices are just as competitive as any brake shop in town. So why wouldn't you multitask and save the time and devote more energy to other things? Whether they do it in your garage or your driveway or they come to your work and they do it in your parking garage, it saves you time, and it's going to cost you the same amount of money as going to a brake shop. So why would you go anywhere else? It's nubrakes.com. And if you mention ESPN 97.5, you're going to save 10%. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to save a whole lot of time, and time is money. That's the best part. Whether you're cutting the lawn or watching the game and drinking a beer while they're fixing your brakes, it's the easy street, man. It's the way to do business. If they're at the office, and Aggie Matt told me this the other day on text message. He said, I'm at work, and New Brakes is in the parking garage fixing my brakes. It's awesome. You can do it, too. All you got to do is go to newbrakes.com, mention ESPN 97.5, save 10%, and see what we're talking about. It's technicians that only do brakes, doing competitive work at competitive prices. Newbrakes.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we can get a little basketball now as we've been rolling through a lot of different topics. And, of course, the playoffs got into full swing this weekend. Lots of good games. The one that everybody kind of slept on and missed was Portland did what you and I both thought they were going to do, and they handled the Nuggets. Last night was the surprise, the big surprise, which is Memphis, which is just supposed to be happy to be there. They made the playoffs, and now they're just supposed to take their lumps and get beat by the number one seeded Utah Jazz. Well, they got other plans, and now Donovan Mitchell's pissed off, and this could be a bigger deal because not only did the Jazz lose game one at home without Donovan Mitchell to the Grizzlies, Now the rumblings are and the rumors are Mitchell's pissed off because he went through 3 days of practice. He went through shoot around. He expected to play. The fact that they sat him down is not sitting well with him, and that could have long-term ramifications on this Utah Jazz team.
Yeah, it didn't sound good at all. Plus, you have Rudy Gobert answering questions like, I just don't want to deal with it because it's a headache. That's just not a good culture. It doesn't sound like a good culture. We go back to the middle of the pandemic when Rudy Gobert was touching all those microphones. Yep. And he tested positive. I'm not saying that this is something that's in the back of Donovan Mitchell's mind and he wants to leave, but he certainly wasn't happy about it. Now, we all know about players, especially NBA players and star players, when it comes down to practice. And if you're going to make him practice and he wants to play, believe me, that's going to aggravate a lot of people. Why they held him out is beyond me. He obviously knows his body, I feel like, more than anybody else. Sometimes you have to protect players from themselves. I just don't know what the situation was there. I guess they were like, you know what? What if we can hold Donovan Mitchell out one more day and get this win without him? And that's my only guess as to what the mentality or the rationale was with that. Because you would think playoffs, Donovan Mitchell, your best player, your best offensive player, he needs to be in the game. Oh.
Here's the thing, Nick. I think on a couple of fronts. And the one that thing that you didn't mention that needs to be mentioned is, Deshaun has created this new mentality, too, where if a player's not happy, he's going to voice his opinion. And if this turns to the point where he suddenly thinks, I want out because they're not thinking like I'm thinking, and at the most important time of the year, if I'm not going to be on the floor, then I don't want to be here.
I would love it.
They could have a massive problem on their hands.
I would love it.
Of people are flocking to Salt Lake City to play basketball for the Utah Jazz. This could be another one to keep an eye on that could have the same kind of legs as Deshaun and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and other big-time stars when they get disgruntled.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I can't agree more. But the thing is, we don't know exactly how aggravated he is. Yeah, he might be super, super mad right now, but is this something that he's so aggravated about that it carries over into the offseason, that it perhaps carries over into next season? That's when it becomes a serious problem. I would imagine with him voicing his opinion that way, the other thing I thought, maybe he's just voicing his opinion to ensure that he does play game two. Like, he didn't expect it. He was like, wait a second, they're pulling me out of game one. Let me make sure I'm in game two. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But when a star player wants to play, he wants to play. We talk about it with James Harden all the time.
Let me ask you this. Is it different if they win the game? If they win the game, is he unhappy at all? Is he voicing it?
Well, he loses his leverage a little bit. But still, I guarantee you, he's still aggravated. He's a star.
Yeah, but I don't think I think as long as they do what... Because to your question earlier, I think what they were thinking was, we should probably steamroll this Memphis team. So let's not bring him back too quick when we're assuming we're going to win the series and buy some time so he's ready for later in the playoffs. And it bit him in the butt.
Definitely. That could have been it. And you know what? They might have to change that mentality considering how well Ja Morant is playing. If there's anybody that I enjoy watching play right now, it's certainly Ja Morant. And he does have a fluidity about him where he kind of, like, I don't want to compare him to Chris Paul and everybody gets... But he has a fluidity about him with the way he dribbles and penetrates to the basket and gets in between players, either setting himself up for a shot or kicking it out to someone else. He does a really, really good job, and he's just fun, and he's so confident. You gotta have your best players on the floor right now. They have to be thinking that.
To me, the difference maker is Dylan Brooks. And no one looked at the playoffs and the Grizzlies and thought, well, here's a guy that could make a difference in Dylan Brooks. He was a difference maker getting them to this point in the play-in games. He was massive on both ends of the floor. And what I really liked, and I don't know how many people saw the game or paid attention, in the first half, Mike Conley started talking a little bit. Yeah. At first, he started talking to Kyle Anderson. And Kyle Anderson, nicknamed Slow-Mo, is probably not going to be the one to, like, clap back with a quick tongue.
Did you see the way he kind of hit it? It was weak.
But Dylan Brooks came to Kyle Anderson's defense while Conley was shooting free throws and got into Conley's face. Then there was the hard pick from Gobert, and he started talking more. And then he started to really get engaged. And the next thing you know, he was killing people on the offensive end, and he was locking down on defense. And you're like, this dude's actually really good. And if he keeps playing like that along with your guy, John Morant, they got something that not only for this year, but more importantly, they got it right on the young player front. Jaren Jackson Jr. might not be the guy they thought he was, but when you got a Valanciunas as a big man and you've got those two young kids, they got a pretty good nucleus in Memphis.
Yeah. And look, it might be a situation where they kind of want to play Donovan only because he's probably not going to get in game shape until he's on the floor getting some minutes. He's not going to get in that same game shape until he plays, and it might take a game or two. So send them out another game maybe not beneficial, especially in the event they lose the game two, because you want him to get his reps and get his wind back up under him. And this would be a perfect opportunity to do that. So I imagined, I haven't seen any updates on whether or not he's going to play. I imagine he is, particularly after practicing 3 days in a row. So
I believe he's playing next game.
I mean, I don't see how he's not. I don't see how you're the Utah Jazz and you have the balls to go up to him and say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and sit you again, despite you being incredibly aggravated the first time. I just don't see that happening.
I'm going to remind you about this one more time, Nick. The 45th pick in the 2017 NBA draft.
Donovan Mitchell.
No. Who? The 45th pick in the 2017 NBA draft. Your Houston Rockets select Dylan Brooks out of Oregon. And then immediately traded him to the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
That one?
That's on Morey, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. And that's one that I don't think a lot of people are aware of. And so when you look at that, you go, God, that guy right there, whether you were rebuilding or you needed a guy that would be a good piece, that guy's better than Jayshon Tate. That guy's better than some of your young guys. Nope. He's a nice player. So
yes, indeed. Now, to the Lakers game. Now, the Lakers game, I saw a play in which Chris Paul, and I think he ended up getting called for a foul. He pushes LeBron James a little bit on the back coming off of a rebound. LeBron James falls to the floor, probably in pretty dramatic fashion.
Oh, boy, did he.
Vogel doesn't use the word dirty, I don't think, but calls it overly aggressive. What are your thoughts on that particular play and whether or not Chris Paul was playing dirty in that case?
I don't think it was dirty. I think it was competitive. I think that's who Chris Paul is, and we know that. I think the fact that LeBron just kind of, again, for the second game in, what, 3 or 4 days, laid on the floor for way too long was annoying to me.
Yep.
But, I mean, you might have a different opinion. I don't think it was dirty.
No, I actually agree with you. I don't think it was dirty at all. I think it was a basketball play. It might have looked a little bit different. If LeBron James wanted to sell it, that's fine. If you sell it a little bit, I don't think that should be on the player who committed the foul to be, oh, that's a dirty play. Come on. It was a basketball play. And you have to now. What made it look dirty is obviously Chris Paul recognizes that LeBron James is not only significantly taller, but he's significantly stronger than him. So he kind of hooked his arm on the play. I'm not sitting here thinking I don't know if Chris Paul, like in a millisecond or a half a second, is thinking this is where I'm going to commit a dirty play on LeBron James. Let me hook. I don't think it was like that. Sometimes you kind of react really quickly. I don't think it's dirty. I'm not mad at Vogel being the head coach of that team saying, you know what, that was overly aggressive. You speak up for your guys and you protect them. That's what you're supposed to do, particularly when you have the best player in the NBA in LeBron James. So I'm not mad at what Vogel said, but it wasn't a dirty play. I don't see it being a dirty play at all.
Where are you on Paul's injury? Because, again, from a Rockets fan perspective, I'm sure there's a good part of the fan base that went, here we go again. First it was a hamstring. Now Chris Paul's going to screw the Suns because now he's got a shoulder.
I thought he flopped at first.
It didn't. Again, we always go back to the Dale Earnhardt Sr. crash where it didn't look as bad as the results. But I looked at it, and at first I thought, well, it's the impact of LeBron hitting him from behind. I think it was actually after LeBron hit him, he hit it on his own teammate when it was kind of extended.
It was on his own teammate.
Yeah.
His teammate is the one that grazed him. And I don't know if it was because of the, you know, him getting grazed by his teammate or maybe something just gave out in the process. But this guy, I thought it was a flop. And then it turned out to be a shoulder, which I thought was kind of scary. He says he was absolutely determined to fight through it and blah, 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 blah. Not a good look if you're the Suns. Hopefully it's not too serious. But in all honesty, in real time, I thought Chris Paul flopped, dude. I was like, what is he doing falling to the ground like that?
Well, that's LeBron's boy, too. So at least LeBron was over there to kind of see if he was all right. But, yeah, the more I kept looking at it, and I'm going, I didn't think it looked like there was that much of an impact that should cause that kind of damage. Now my question is, how's he going to be? Because really what they highlighted perfectly on the broadcast, the telecast, was he had no control over the ball with his right hand. After it happened, he constantly had to bring the ball up with his left hand. Late in the game, they actually deferred and let Booker bring it up because he was having so much difficulty. He had the tight shoulder t-shirt on.
That sounds like something that doesn't heal in 48 hours, Joel. That doesn't seem like something that heals quickly.
I would tend to agree with you. I would think that it's going to be a lot of ice.
A lot of treatment from the staff.
Yep. And I don't know, again, like you and I have always talked about, and I've always said, once you do something to either separate or do something like that to your shoulder, the bigger issue is if it pops out once or it has an issue, until you have surgery to tighten it up, it's going to do it again. And that's what the Suns can't afford.
Does Apollo Men's Health have something to fix that?
I don't know if they have something to fix that.
I bet
that.
You they do.
But they can fix a whole lot more, because the good people at Apollo Men's Health are here to help you guys try to feel and act and be like you were when you were in your heyday and feeling as good as you've ever felt in your life. It's simple. For both men and women, Apollo Men's Health has plans that can get you either on a workout program or to kind of recover after workouts and feel better, or hormone therapy for both men and women, in which whether you do it weekly by going into the clinic, whether you do it at home and they ship you the product like they can show you how to do and administer it, or whether you get cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy if you're a guy, you only have to go in every 6 months and you still reap all the benefits. It's simple. Your health is your wealth. You need to invest in yourself. And you do that by going to Apollo Men's Health and one of their two locations conveniently close to downtown Houston. Because from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, they can have you feeling like you thought you could never feel again. Dr. O and his staff are there to help. David Kelly and the office people are going to make you feel comfortable. If you're honest and you give them honest answers, they're going to find a program for you. Call them today and set up that first appointment, because when you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. And if you mention my name and ESPN Radio, you're going to get a free B12 shot in the month of May and in the month of June to make sure that you get off to the right start. Their phone number is 832-664-9966, or you can go on the web, apollomh.com. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. They'll make it worth your while. It's the good people doing great things at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.